I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast.
And I'm Jake Robson. Here's what's coming up this week.
English cricket was rocked this week by the resignation of Test captain Andrew Strauss. We'll hear from him and his successor, Alistair Cook.
The Premier League season continues. We'll look ahead to some of the big fixtures.
And the London 2012 Paralympics are underway. We'll review an excellent opening day for Great Britain. Well, Jake, we'll start with cricket and Andrew Strauss choosing to resign as England's Test captain and retire from all forms of the game. A decision he says that is based on his form with the bat, despite people suggesting it might be to do with Kevin Peterson.
Very, very strange timing, in my opinion. I think there could be more to come out of this yet. I mean, obviously, he had a very, very good career as England captain. He's going to go down as certainly one of the best, if not, you know, that's certainly the most successful. I think it's a shame for the team as much as anything else. Taking all the captaining and Kevin Peterson's situation aside, I think one of the things that seems to have been overlooked is, although his form might not have been that good in the last year, who actually is going to come in and replace him at the top of the order?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there are a few candidates, a few young guys like Joe Root coming through, but I think Strauss is above all a proud man, and I think having averaged 17 in a big series against South Africa, he probably felt that, you know, he was declining, and if they went to India in the winter and he'd had another poor series with the bat, then you'd have a situation where the press were on his back saying it's probably time to go, and that's perhaps not as good a way to go as this, where he gets to go on his own terms. He gets to go with his head held high. I think he said in his press conference that a lot of people are still saying he should carry on. And he said that's probably a good sign that he hasn't outstayed his welcome. Well, we'll hear from the man himself. He insists that the Kevin Peterson issue had nothing to do with his decision.
I've been thinking about it for a while. I first spoke to Andy about it prior to the whole Kevin Peterson incident sort of rearing its head. At the end of the South Africa series, with us losing the number one ranking, it's time for the side to refresh. This is a great way for us to be able to do that.
He won 100 test caps, Andrew Strauss. He scored over 7,000 test runs. He led England to Ashes series victories both home and away. I think he's only the fourth England captain to do that. What legacy does he leave for English cricket?
Well, I mean, as I said, and as you just said, his record is, you know, first class as far as England goes. He's made it into, I think, the top 10 all-time run scorers for England. You know, it'll be one of, we'll never forget those double back-to-back Ashes victories. And don't forget, he's also played in another Ashes victory, the sort of one that set it all off.
He's
certainly got to go down as one of England's greatest captains. I mean, you talk of sort of, you know, Mike Brearley's always one as mentioned as sort of one to sort of follow on from and look up
as
to.
As a popular captain.
And then, you know, but I think certainly as a success-wise, there aren't going to be too many that beat him. Although hopefully going forward, somebody else, obviously Alistair Cook is taking over. The team hasn't really changed too much. So there shouldn't be too much reason as to why, Alistair Cook couldn't have as successful a reign as England captain.
Well, Cook takes over. He retains his place as the one-day skipper, but he'll be test captain as well. And he says it's an exciting challenge ahead.
Now we've got India away, we've got two Ashes series in the next 18 months, so we've got a lot of cricket to play, and hopefully I can do a good job.
Now the ECB have brought up the issue of Kevin Peterson. They say that they'll have talks with him as soon as possible to resolve his future. The irony now, of course, is that England have never needed Peterson more, because not only are they losing a great captain, but they're losing an opening batsman, so they're going to have to shuffle things around anyway. If the Peterson thing did have something to do with Strauss going before his time, and he insists that's not the case, if that is the case, though, or if it's perceived to be the case, there'll be plenty of players in that England dressing room who won't want Peterson back.
Well, no, but then also it's also one of those things that they have to sort of look at the situation for the, you know, the cricket side as well.
The good of the team.
The good of the team. But then you could also argue for the good of the team, he doesn't come back as well. So, it you know, there's definitely two sides of the argument. We obviously don't know the complete ins and outs. And certainly it kind of brings to light perhaps the relationship that Kevin Peterson had before this incident with the players, which at times people said he sort of quite distanced himself and kind of keeps himself to himself, which to be fair, up until now has worked. With this incident, it's kind of, you kind of think, well, are they going to all stick together? Are they going to welcome him back?
Yeah.
We don't know.
That's the big question, and plenty of questions for England's cricket team going forward. Okay, let's move on to this weekend's Premier League fixtures. Obviously, at the time we record this, transfer deadline day hasn't yet been resolved, so plenty of big signings to come. One big signing that's already happened, though, West Ham have pulled off a big transfer coup by signing the Liverpool striker Andy Carroll on a season-long loan. He could make his Hammers debut at home to Fulham in the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. That's a big signing for them, isn't it?
I think it's a big signing for them, for sure. I mean, you know, a lot of talk about Andy Carroll being not the striker that he was cracked up to be, and obviously there was a lot of money spent on him, but we're all forgetting he was, you know, he was England's, you know, by the end of the Euros, at any rate, he was kind of England's, well, I would say not go-to man, but he was the one we sort of put some hope in.
Yeah, he performed well. Absolutely.
And, you know, he obviously went for 35 million. It's a lot of money. He probably wasn't worth that, but there's some truth into sort of working out more or less where people thought he was at. People, you know, the people that paid money for him at Liverpool obviously saw a decent player. They didn't pay that much money because they didn't think he was any good. And in his first season at Newcastle, he really, you know, he almost put that 35 valuation on his own head by playing very, very well, having had a season in the Championship. You know, you remember that game against Arsenal at the Emirates where he absolutely frightened the life out of the defenders there. So, you know, for West Ham, with their perhaps more direct style of football, there's no reason why it can't suit them. Carlton Cole was really good for them in that kind of role, certainly towards the end of their Premier League campaign last time. As you say, great signing for sure.
And Fulham have a new striker as well, Dimitar Berbatov. It's about time that he was a go-to guy himself, because of course he's been at Manchester United still scoring goals, but he hasn't been really part of the first team picture for a long time there. This could revitalise his career, couldn't it?
Absolutely it could. I heard that he was in fact on the plane on the way to Italy, to Fiorentina, and apparently he sort of did a U-turn in Germany when they stopped over.
Yeah, Fiorentina weren't very happy.
They weren't very happy about that. But Martin Jol, what a coup that is for him. Obviously, they worked together before at Tottenham. And, I mean, if it works for Fulham, it could be... I mean, that's got to be the buy of the... or the deal of the window.
So two new strikers possibly going up against each other. Manchester City take on Queen's Park Rangers. That will evoke some pretty strong memories for City fans because, of course, it was against Queen's Park Rangers that they produced the most extraordinary end to a Premier League campaign ever.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just remembering back, it was quite incredible. Well, you never know. We might see similar fireworks in the game this weekend. Certainly one thing we won't see is Joey Barton. There won't be any kind of incident along those lines. He's still suspended. In fact, he could well be on his way out, couldn't he?
Off to Marseille, yeah. Well, we'll move on to Sunday's games. Liverpool are taking on Arsenal. Liverpool have had a rocky start to the season in the sense that they haven't picked up too many points. Obviously, they lost heavily at West Brom, and then they were 2-1 up going into the closing stages against Manchester City, but had to settle for a 2-2 draw after a terrible Martin Skrtel mistake. They squeezed into the Europa League against Hearts. It will take time for Brendan Rodgers to bed in the new system, but it's time that he might not have.
You wonder, don't you, if he will be given... I mean, you can't imagine that they won't give him some time after certainly firstly getting rid of King Kenny and then investing certainly time and money into buying new players and getting rid of players and getting in a new manager as well. I mean, we've seen it before, though, but it would be madness if they didn't give him some time, especially with someone like Brendan Rodgers, who is completely changing the style of football that Liverpool play and to essentially bring in a style of football that has been successful for him, it may need some time, and they must be prepared to give him some time.
Yeah, having had the bravery to bring him in the first place, they have to now have the bravery to stick with him, whatever the results. Arsenal, two games, no goals scored, no goals conceded. Chances made, but not taken. It's not quite happened for the new guys, Olivier Giroud and Lucas Podolski.
Well, no, that's, you hit the nail on the head. That's the problem with bringing in new players in key positions to, who haven't had any Premier League experience. It's, you know, losing Robin van Persie is going to affect any team. But the two new guys up front, again, time. They're going to need some time as well. You saw, you know, Arsenal brought in Shamak. It didn't quite work. But you just need time. I mean, especially when you're playing up front in the Premier League, it's so different to any other league in Europe. It's much more physical. The game is much quicker. Those guys are going to need some time. And of course, in the last couple of seasons, losing some key players hasn't helped in midfield as well. Wilshere's still out. It's going to be difficult for Arsenal. They're going to be pushed, I think, all the way for that fourth spot. Certainly by Tottenham, by Newcastle, and who knows what Everton might do as well.
And the last game we'll look at, Manchester United's trip to Southampton. Southampton brave in defeat at Manchester City, but they got mugged by Wigan the week after that. No points so far, and potentially no points after this one either.
Well, you'd think probably not, especially as United, they sort of started steady start, you could say, to United's season. It's going to be difficult. I think Southampton, they've got to be one of those favourites, unfortunately, to be perhaps going back down to the Championship next season. It's going to be difficult for them this year. Should be a good game, though. Manchester United going back there to St Mary's. It'll be a good atmosphere as ever. But I think United probably, even though the gash to Wayne Rooney, it's going to mean, obviously, that Van Persie will get a free run in the team now for a couple of games to sort of see what he can do and how he can fit in. Could be quite ominous for Southampton.
And finally, just a little review of the opening day of the London 2012 Paralympics. A golden start for Great Britain. Swimmer Jonathan Fox taking gold in the S7 100 metre backstroke. While in track cycling, Sarah Storey, who used to be a swimmer and is now a cyclist, cruised to victory in the C5 individual pursuit. Let's hear from her now.
It's unbelievable. I didn't think I could be this lucky to win in front of a home crowd, but it brought the house down. It was just phenomenal in there. To be able to catch a competitor in the final is kind of your ultimate, and being able to have done it after a world record, and I just couldn't ask for any more. I feel so lucky.
And just finally, Jake, great to see Team GB making an excellent start to the Paralympics and getting that feel-good factor going again.
Well, that's the key. I mean, after the Olympics, in the first time around, I think we went a few days, and after the first couple of days, we were thinking, are we gonna do it? Are we gonna sort of kickstart it? And then we won a couple, and the floodgates opened. So it's good to kind of get that in early, and as predicted, get some gold medals under our belt.
Okay, that's it for this week from Jake and myself. It's goodbye for now. I hope you enjoy your sporting weekend.